Welcome to the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast, your one-stop shop for all things Somerset Patriots and New York Yankees prospect coverage. Here are your hosts, Steve Cusimano and Eli Fishman.
The Patriots in Pinstripes podcast returns, and the Eastern League champions will return to the playoffs with Eli Fishman. Steven Cusimano here with you, and we come to you a day after the Somerset Patriots clinched the first half title for the second consecutive season. A dominating 12-1 win on Friday, June 23rd, capping what was, Eli, an outstanding run to the postseason. Patriots were 5.5 games out of first place less than a month ago. They went 17-6 from the end of May to right now, a plus 50 run differential, 40 homers. What a run it was for the Patriots, led by the likes of Trey Sweeney. Sweeney, our featured guest on this week's Patriots in Pinstripes podcast. You'll hear from him later in the episode. A dominant pitching staff. Where to start? I mean, it's just that the vibes are great right now. Somerset is headed back to the playoffs after a dominating victory over the New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
And you mentioned just a few weeks ago, 5.5 games behind the Portland Sea Dogs, and it's been a rocky couple of weeks since then. They had that high of winning 11 of their last 13, just ending last week in the Altoona series, and then they started this series against New Hampshire, dropping their first two and struggles in the first three games of the series with the bats before the bats exploded in what was the third game and eventually the clinching game. 12-1 the victory, as you mentioned, with a season-high 5 homers. Sweeney, Pereira, Wells, Hardman, and Rumfield all coming up in the clutch. And against this Fisher Cats team that they've been back and forth with in the standings all year, finally able to capitalize and come away with the win.
Yeah, a lot like an instant replay of last year. Patriots trailed the Hartford Yard Goats for a majority of the first half in 2022. And it took until that final week this week a year ago when the Patriots played against the Yard Goats here at TD Bank Ballpark. It took until the last day and the last inning to punch their ticket to the postseason. And that, of course, wound up with the team's first ever Eastern League championship. And the Patriots will have a chance to do the same once again this year. And the other team, by the way, that clinched from the Southwest, it was the team the Patriots beat in the Eastern League championship. Congratulations to the Erie Seawolves, second half champions a year ago. This year, they are the first half champions in the Southwest Division, so we know that much. Out of the four Eastern League playoff contenders, we will see two of the same teams that played in the Eastern League championship series last year. Exciting run to the postseason. We talked a little bit about the 5 homers. The Patriots had a 12-1 win. That was the Patriots' largest margin of victory all year. And like you mentioned, Eli, just an eruption. After the first three games of this series, Patriots had only collected 7 hits and 3 runs. And then they had the big extra inning balk-off win where Trey Sweeney was at the bat with the bases loaded. In the longest game of the year, 14 innings, Patriots won on Thursday. And that set the stage. 1 win, and the Patriots were in. Patriots with their 41st win of the season, punching their ticket to the postseason. And as we get to this point, Eli, a lot of talk about the bats. It's been a lot of the same contenders up and down the lineup for the Patriots from start to finish this year. We've seen the likes of some mainstays in Somerset the last 3 years get promoted to AAA Scranton-Wilkes-Barre. Congratulations, very well-deserved promotions to guys like Brandon Lockridge and Max Burt. We'll start there on the offensive side because there's been a lot of new faces on the pitching end of things, but let's talk a little bit about those two guys, Max Burt, Brandon Lockridge. I mean, you think about the Somerset Patriots becoming the Yankees' double-A affiliate in 2021. Those are two guys that were key members of the Somerset Patriots each of the last 3 years, including this one. And although they were not here to celebrate with the champagne celebration and the Gatorade bath on the pitcher's mound on Friday night, they were certainly a very key component to the Patriots' success, not just this year, but in the championship series last year and even the successful 2021 inaugural Yankees-affiliated season.
Members of the Patriots for the parts of the last 3 seasons. And you look at a guy like Max Burt, too. He's kind of been, you could say, captain of this team for parts of the last 3 seasons, especially the beginning of this year. He was the leader in the clubhouse. He was the guy that put pressure on guys to succeed, was out of the locker room at 2 p.m., hours and hours before game times, getting working on the field. Max Burt was a true leader, and it was just the day before Somerset clinched a postseason spot that he was promoted up to AAA Scranton. Got an RBI single in the same day that Somerset clinched up in AAA. So good to see for Max Burt. Same thing with Brandon Lockridge, who's gone on to AAA and had success after so much success in a Patriots uniform. Two players here in Somerset that have made such a big impact on the organization, the fans, the front office, everything, you name it. Max Burt and Brandon Lockridge have been at the forefront of the success of this organization over the last 3 years now, including 2 playoff spots.
And let's talk about some of the new faces to this Patriots pitching staff. Somerset entering today the top earned run average of any team in minor league baseball during the month of June, a 2.87 mark. Tops in the Eastern League in ERA, strikeouts, and whip coming into this last week of June. It's been a dominant run for the Patriots overall, but especially the pitching staff. And talking about a lot of new faces in a minute, I want to first touch on Clayton Beter, because Beter was actually supposed to start the Patriots championship clinching game in the first half, and just hours before the first pitch of that one, he got the call up to AAA Scranton Wilkes-Barre, and it was very well deserved. Leading the Eastern League with his 6 wins, his 2.08 ERA, and ranking top 3 in the league in batting average against with a 2.04 mark and 76 strikeouts, the third most in the Eastern League. So I know the last time we spoke, we talked about Will Warren, how well deserved his promotion was to AAA, and you can say the exact same about Clayton Beter. Came over in the trade with Joey Gallo from the Dodgers at the trade deadline last year, and the New York Yankees have unlocked something in what is the guy that right now is ranked the number 13 Yankees prospect. He gets the well-deserved call up to AAA, and Somerset with even more reinforcements as Matt Sauer came right off the injured list, started in Beter's spot, 5 strikeouts in his Patriots season debut. But Beter has just been phenomenal this year for the Patriots, and it feels real good to see him get that call up to Scranton Wilkes-Barre.
And Beter, another guy just thrown in that mix with Lockridge and Burt, who's had such a big impact on this team and is one of the main reasons that this team is even in the playoffs in the first place, is Beter was absolutely dominant, leading the league in ERA, second in batting average against, whip, a whole lot of other categories, led the Eastern League in wins at the time of his promotion, so very well deserved. You know, it was disappointing to see him not be able to celebrate with this team, but great to see him going up to AAA, doing great things. The Yankees' number 13 prospect as of now, but he's likely to climb those rankings. And what we saw from Clayton Beter this year was pure dominance, and we've told the story so many times about how it was just last year, came over in the trade deadline from the Dodgers, hadn't thrown more than 2 or 3 innings in a single outing in his career because he was mainly an opener slash reliever, and then all of a sudden he turns into one of the top starting pitching prospects, not just in the Yankee system, not just in the Eastern League, but in all of professional baseball. So Beter's rise has been so much to see. And you look at an entire pitching staff. You mentioned the reinforcements with Matt Sauer, Chase Hampton getting the promotion as well. So many guys that have been activated off the IL come back. So the success, Richard Fitz, Clayton Beter, Will Warren, just up and down this rotation throughout the course of the season. So much fun to watch. You even look at a guy like Gray Fenter, who had so much success before being placed on the injured list. And this has just been such a fun team to watch. Yoenis Gomez off the IL, just to name a few of those guys. And you mentioned it, through the first 4 games of the New Hampshire series, 55 strikeouts for Somerset, including an 18 strikeout performance on Thursday for this squad, who has a 2.87 ERA, which is first in the Eastern League and fourth in all of minor league baseball. The 1.11 whip is also third in all of minor league baseball. So such a fun team to see throughout the course of the season, especially the way the starting pitching has developed, and to throw to the bullpen as well. This team would not be where they are right now without the developments they've had in the bullpen. At the beginning of the season, that was kind of what was up in the air. It felt like the first week and a half of the season, we had a lot of conversations on the post-game show. Okay, what is the identity of this bullpen? What do they need to do to really lock it down? Because there were a lot of blown saves and honestly a lot of, you know, failure at the beginning of the season in the bullpen. We didn't know what it was going to look like come June, and it has turned into absolute dominance. They've been the best bullpen in the Eastern League by a very wide margin in the month of June and over the past 2 months of the season for the most part. You look at some promotions in the guys like Edgar Barkley, Danny Watson, and most recently Ryan Anderson, who was able to go 2 2/3 shutout innings in the clinching game in his Double-A debut. Just so many guys up and down this roster. Lisandro Santos has really found himself and turned into a big piece. So many great pitchers on this staff. And I was talking about it earlier today with a few people. We're going to look at this team that's on the Patriots roster right now that clinched this postseason berth. And in a few years, we're going to see a lot of big leaguers and a lot of breakout stars.
I mean, you hit it right on the head. This team would not be where it is without the bullpen. You talk all about the offense. We mentioned the 40 homers in the last 23 games on that side of things, and the consistency from guys like Richard Fitz, the Yankees' number 8 prospect, who has pieced together 6 straight quality starts entering the final week of the first half, and then the newcomers, Chase Hampton, Yoenis Gomez, Matt Sauer, but it's been the bullpen that has made such a big difference, and let's dig into it a little bit. We saw Ryan Anderson in his Double-A debut pitch the final out of the Patriots' first half clincher, matching a career high with 5 strikeouts in 2 2/3 innings, giving up only 1 base runner. And Danny Watson in the same game, signaling the end of the Patriots' first half championship. earned his first Double-A win, continuing what's been a dominant scoreless streak for Watson. He served as a big reinforcement along with Edgar Barclay, who had some big pitching performances over the course of the last 3 weeks. But let's also not forget about a couple of reinforcements on the rehab side of things. We've got a first look at Carlos Rodon in pinstripes starting in Tuesday, the series opener versus the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. And by the time you're listening to this podcast, he'll have already made his second Double-A appearance for the Patriots on Sunday when the Patriots round out the first half. Ian Hamilton on his way back for the Yankees. So you think about some of these rehabbers. We had Josh Donaldson, Giancarlo Stanton, Harrison Bader here. And I think a little bit of that veteran presence maybe is rubbed off on this team as well.
Absolutely. That veteran presence has been huge. You even go back to a guy like Max Burt, who's had so much experience. And throughout his career, he's had experience winning, doing it in college, doing it in pro ball with Eastern League championships in 2019 and 2022. And it was a big conversation last year throughout the course of the season, especially with some big names in the lineup, such as notably Anthony Volpe at shortstop. Is it winning or is it development? And we've had this conversation a few times that they go hand in hand. If you're not winning, you're not doing it right. Such a big part of minor league baseball in developing is learning how to win, and that's been something that the Yankees organization has done so well, with High Hudson Valley clinching a playoff spot 2 days before summer sent in success up and down the Yankees system. And learning how to win is such an important part of making it up to the big leagues and having that clubhouse camaraderie that equates to winning. And this team, we looked at the roster on opening day and we said this is going to be a fun team with a lot of veterans that know how to win. That's exactly what they've done this season. They've come together. They've battled through some adversity. You mentioned down 5.5 games in the standings. There were some very tough parts, some tough games, some tough losses at the beginning of the season, but they've been able to battle back and get it done all year with that veteran leadership that you mentioned and the help of some big-time rehabbers.
Well, there's been nobody, as you talk about this stretch run to the postseason and the Patriots going 17-6 to overcome that 5.5-game deficit. There's been a lot of key offensive contributors. We've seen heroics from Austin Wells, Tyler Hardman, TJ Rumfield, your team leaders in home runs, but nobody has come on more strongly than Trey Sweeney. He had a 12-game hit streak. We discussed it with him earlier. You're going to hear that conversation later in the Patriots and Pinstripes podcast, but just look at what he's done during the month of June. Since June 2nd, Trey Sweeney is hitting .293, an OPS of .980. He's got 5 homers in his last 6 games as of the time recording this podcast, 15 RBIs, 13 runs scored. He has been raging hot. He was a guy that was promoted to Double-A Somerset last year at the time Anthony Volpe was promoted to Triple-A Scranton-Wilkes-Barre. Got that Double-A time under his belt. Had a chance to see what it's like to win a championship here with the Patriots. A guy that adjusted to the pitching, had some growing pains early this year, but he was absolutely dominant during the month of June. And again, Patriots have played in a ton of close games this year, especially over this last month with the Portland Sea Dogs taking 4 of 6 there. They also defeated the Altoona Curve 5 times, 5 wins in a 6-game series versus Hartford the second week of June. And now we'll see what happens with this series versus the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. But quite simply, the Patriots have taken care of business, and Trey Sweeney has been at the very epicenter of that.
100%. We've seen so many breakout campaigns and guys developing, as we mentioned. You look at a guy like TJ Rumfield, you could throw in that mix too, who's made some big strides this season, turned the batting average, the homer numbers, the on-base percentage, everything has gone upside down. That's the same case for Trey Sweeney. He's kind of had that high on-base percentage all year, led the Patriots in walks over the month of May. The batting average wasn't necessarily where you wanted, but you look at the numbers so far in the month of June, especially the homers coming out. He entered the month of June with only 3 homers on the season, and we kind of had some conversations. When are the homers going to come? Were there any swing changes that went on? You know, what was it? Because he had so much success over the last couple of years, he was touted as a power hitter coming out of Eastern Illinois, obviously a first-round pick by the Yankees in 2021. We hadn't really seen that power in the 2023 season, and that was until he proved you wrong. At the beginning of June, obviously going on an absolute tear, and over his last 7 games at the moment, he's got 6 homers.
And we were able to dig into all of it with Trey Sweeney. Again, we talked to him before the Patriots clinched the first half title, so you hear some questions regarding that, the importance of winning, dig into a little bit of Trey Sweeney's career, but specifically what was working for him at the plate over this month of June. He has heated up in a major way and come on strong for the Patriots, and that has resulted in 41 wins and a first-half championship. Somerset will be playing postseason baseball, and we talked with Trey Sweeney about it. He has been the MVP of this 23-game run out of second place, overtaking the Portland Sea Dogs. Here is the conversation between myself, Eli, and Trey Sweeney. Our guest on the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast this week, catching up with Yankees shortstop prospect Trey Sweeney, and alongside myself, Stephen Cusimano. I've got Eli Fishman here. Trey, it's a pleasure having you in here, and thanks for catching up for a few minutes.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Trey, first and foremost, it's at the time we catch you right now, you're red hot. 12-game hit streak, having a really good second, I guess, full season in Somerset after breaking in at the end of 2022. What's been working for you? What's been clicking at the plate as we get into this month of June here?
I think kind of fine-tuning some mechanical things in my swing and just having better at-bats, longer at-bats, and getting better pitches to swing at. So I think that's just the main focus is keep taking the pitches I need to take and swinging at the ones I need to swing at. So that's helped me a lot.
How much, when you think about that experience the last 2 weeks of September, how much do you think that really helped you in just preparation for this season?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just being able to get up here and see the talent level in AA and, you know, just making that little jump is kind of a good preparation to know what to expect for the next upcoming season. So experience is always key and always helpful.
What's been the process of making those adjustments, you know, leading to the success? And has a lot of that been with Jake Hurst?
Yeah, definitely. Or working with him and the guys every day, getting here early and taking tons of swings has definitely been helpful. We got a lot of knowledgeable guys, coaches and players here to help each other. So, like I said, working alongside those guys has been great.
I want to ask about some of the teammates, too, because you've had a chance to learn from, like you said, some of the more knowledgeable guys.
Yeah.
I know Max Burt's a close friend that's been around the Yankees org for a while, and a third straight year in Somerset now. Who are some guys maybe that you've been able to pick up some things from that are on this year's team that maybe have kind of transcended your game a little bit?
Yeah, Max definitely. He's got a lot of experience, a great ball player. I think his mindset is what's great about him and contagious to everybody else. So, you know, he's there to just keep the vibes high and ball out like he does. But, yeah, I think just kind of the mindset getting from the guys. Everybody here wants to win, and that makes it a lot easier to play when you're trying to win and not just do good for yourself.
How much you guys, you know, scoreboard watching a little bit? I mean, you got a week left, obviously, in the first half with the potential to clinch a playoff spot, and you kind of got that winning taste last year of how fun it is to bring home the hardware. You know, is the team aware of that? Are you guys paying attention to the scores a little bit?
I think we know it's been a close race for sure. Two really good teams up top, and like I said, we just got to keep winning. We're feeling good right now, and we've been playing some good baseball, so keep that going. You guys have seen these games have been fun, especially last night. So it's fun to be a part of, fun to watch. So hopefully we keep winning and try to clinch here soon.
I wanted to ask you about that too, because I remember the week before the season started, you had a big media scrum and you talked about kind of the importance of winning and how that maybe plays into your mentality of player development and just kind of learning how to do it at the AA level. And the fact that you were here for the championship last year and coming back this year, it just really seems like something has a switch has kind of flipped in terms of going for that playoff push. So how important is that in terms of like the player development aspect of things, just learning how to win?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that's the most important thing. That's the whole reason you play the game is to win it. So in the minor leagues, obviously, it's tough. Some people, you know, are just trying to move up the system themselves and play good for themselves. But playing as a team and playing for your teammates, that's how you get better. That's how you become a good player and create a winning culture. So winning is definitely the most important part of it, no matter what level you're at.
I want to turn back the clock a little bit and go back and talk about your career in general. And I want to start with college ball. Mm-hmm. You know, you were kind of an underdog when you were recruited. You only got one offer going to Eastern Illinois. Kind of tell me about that recruiting process. I know you developed a lot your senior year of high school, you know, worked with that body and eventually developed a lot more power. So tell me about, you know, that rise and between your junior year of high school and your freshman year of college, how you developed.
Yeah, so I think in between my junior and senior years when I grew 8 inches, I was – 5'6" and ended up being 6'2", 6'3", whatever I am now. But yeah, that obviously helped me tremendously with strength, power, athleticism, speed. But yeah, I got Eastern Illinois was my only D1 offer and kind of went there just trying to save money for college, not really expecting to go into pro ball soon after. But like I said, just developed a lot there and became better at baseball and just fixed a lot of things and started having a lot of fun with it and realized that I had potential to keep playing after college. So, that my junior year was really fun time, you know, bringing all the scouts to Eastern Illinois and just bringing some fans in and putting us on the map. It was a fun season.
When did you realize that, you know, going pro was a potential? And then when did you realize the first round was a possibility?
I think after my sophomore summer, I had a pretty good summer ball season and – noticed some scouts were coming, and at that point I had my advisor, who's my agent now. So I think my junior year before the season, we had some scouts coming to scrimmages and practices, so I knew that I had a chance if I played well to, you know, get drafted that summer. But didn't really expect first round until right before the draft, until that summer. So leading up to that, I was just kind of hearing some more stuff that I was rising up the board. So that was all a crazy experience. It just happened really fast, and it was kind of surreal.
How confident were you that it would be the Yankees? How much dialogue was there kind of leading up to it? And was that something you were expecting, not expecting?
Yeah, I didn't really know fully what to expect out of, like, in terms of which team was going to take me. But I had a workout with them in the summer. It was actually me and Ben Cowles. We did it together, but we did it in Cleveland, Ohio, and then kind of talked to them a little bit after that. And then leading up to the draft that morning, we talked a lot. So, yeah, I made a good connection with them and the guys that came to watch. So that was probably the point when I realized I might have a chance to go to the Yankees, and was starting to get pretty excited.
And let's go after the draft. You know, you head down to Tampa, you get some reps in the Florida Complex League before going over to the Tarpons. And that pro debut, you know, were there any big surprises about professional baseball that maybe you didn't expect? And how was that transition for you?
Yeah, I think obviously where I went to college, I didn't see much velocity throughout my whole career at all. But I think the stuff the pitchers had was just kind of a big jump in terms of velocity and movement. But yeah, it was good to get those games in before going to low A just to you know, get your eyes set on that type of stuff from the pitchers.
I guess on that point, looking back on that time when you made your debut to last year, now to this year, is there one area where you think your game has just kind of evolved the most?
Yeah, I think I've developed a lot defensively in terms of range and kind of my footwork and hands, but I think that's been great for me overall as a player. And like I said, just having better at-bats, it was kind of easy to get away with swinging at bad pitches in college because you knew you're still going to get some where you're going to be able to draw walks pretty easily. But you just got to stay locked in every pitch here. And I think I've gotten a lot better at doing that.
Who has helped you out defensively? I mean, there's a lot of coordinators, coaches. I think of Theo from last year, who was obviously your manager, and he's one of the infield instructors. And then players, obviously. I mean, who's some of the guys that have really helped you evolve your game in that aspect?
I mean, there's a ton of people across the board. Like you said, I've had a bunch of different coordinators, infield coaches at the teams I've been on. But just everybody in general, the development is great from the whole staff. And then like you said, with Max and Caleb and, you know, Volpe and spring training, all those guys, it's just watching how they put their work in on defense has helped me a lot.
Going back to the offensive side, and you talked about, you know, you come to pro ball, you're seeing better stuff, better velo for you. Was it kind of being able to settle in and just see that and get used to it?
Yeah.
Or did you jump on anything before that to get ahead of it, whether that be swing adjustments, you know, timing?
Yeah, going in from college to pro ball, I didn't make any swing adjustments. I just kind of let the game do that for me, you know. With the better pitching, it kind of shortened up some stuff in my swing naturally. But no, I didn't really do anything to jump ahead of it. But like I said, just seeing those pitches and recognizing what guys in pro ball had was probably the most helpful thing.
We've seen this year your strikeout rate is down, your walk rate is up. Is there any element from this point forward, I guess at the June point of the season, that you're really honing in on that you want to become better at as we get a little deeper into the season?
Yeah, that's always a focus, is to keep drawing walks and seeing the ball well. So, keep walking and striking out less, putting the ball in play. As long as I put the ball in play, I'm going to still get out some, but they're going to fall more. So just trying to get on base no matter how I can.
And you mentioned the swing adjustments as well when you come to pro ball. You're a guy with a big leg kick, you know, and you've got the power as well. For you, you know, 5 home runs already this point this season. You hit one all the way onto the train tracks the other day. How much for you has it, or how hard is it, I guess, to maintain the low strikeout rate, raise the walk rate, but also be able to maintain that power, which you've been known for years?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I mean, you can't focus on all that at once. Like I said, it's just kind of going up there thinking of just having a good at-bat, and stuff like that will come. Those home runs will come if you get your pitch and just be patient. So having a good at-bat and taking your walks and taking balls and swinging at strikes is the most important part. And then if you have the power, the home runs will come.
What is Raul like as a manager? How is he to play for? And what's kind of the atmosphere he creates for you guys?
Raul's been great. He's very fun to be around. He's always got good energy and good vibes. And he loves winning just like us. So, yeah, I think we all mesh together. The Americans, Latinos, everybody here. It's been great.
Thinking real quick, too, on when you received your ring, what do you remember about that and just kind of getting back together with everyone who was there? And I guess thinking a little bit past the celebration, when you guys got the rings, what memories immediately started flooding back for you?
That was really cool. We were in Tampa, and everybody in spring training we were in the batting cages, had a big ceremony. So that was cool because everybody who was a part of the Somerset the whole year was lined up there, and we were all shaking hands. And obviously that just brought back all the memories of last pitch, Carson striking out that guy and us going crazy. So, and we had a good night that night too. So, getting the rings was cool. They're pretty sick. So,
let's take it off the field a little bit. What's Trey Sweeney like off the diamond?
Yeah, during the season, there's not too much, as we don't have too much time to do stuff. My off days, I usually go golfing with the guys. After the game, get a few video games in, and then go to sleep. But off season, I was still lived with my parents, and we go to a lot of Kentucky football games every weekend. We take an RV up there and tailgate. That's kind of been our tradition as a family forever.
How's the golf game, and who are you playing with, and how are you competing with? You know, where do you rank on the team?
I'm not great at golf, but I go out there to have fun. I've been getting a lot better. I started after the draft. I was playing with like Cooper Bowman, Will Warren, and Tyler Hardman all the time that year. Got a new set of clubs because I fell in love with it. Been getting better ever since, but still, I'm still lower level on the team for sure, unfortunately. But lately, I've been going with Max and Wells a lot. Tyler's been going with us, Fitz. We got everybody goes. It's always a big group going.
I think I'd remember seeing that one of your first big purchases, and you kind of alluded to it just now, after the draft was you got a new set of clubs.
Right.
But was that the first thing, and did that kind of evolve your game a little bit?
Yeah, that was the first thing, really the only thing. But, yeah, I got a new set of TaylorMades and started putting in work after that, or going every off day, hit the range sometimes with the guys. But, yeah, like I said, they were all going after the draft, and I went and used their clubs, had a great time, so I figured I might as well get my own set.
Growing up, were you a big golfer, or was it strictly baseball?
Well, I played football and basketball, too, so I liked all the sports, but I never golfed at all. My dad would go, my brothers would go, but I probably would go once a year, just go out there and hit it around, but I was terrible, so never really got into it. But then after the draft, when I realized everybody was going, that's something fun to go do, so I figured I'd start doing it more often.
And you talk about a lot of the guys you go with, you know, being, you know, the Hardman and Fitz and Warren, the guys from your draft class. How helpful has that been for you? You know, you've obviously come up the organization with those guys, were drafted with those guys, being able to share all these moments with them.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. Our draft class specifically got pretty close after, like, as soon as we got drafted. We did a lot of stuff together, like golf together all the time. But, yeah, I mean, that just makes the whole experience better. If you being close with everybody throughout the organization, they come up, they move up, you're proud of them. So, like, seeing everybody have success that you're really close with it's what it's all about. It's been great.
You kind of feel like it's an iron sharpens iron type of thing because you're all trying to get a little bit better every single day in your own individual ways, and how that kind of reflects in seeing the wins come on the board now.
Exactly,
too.
Yeah. Definitely iron sharpens iron, and I think we do a good job of that. Nobody's here hoping someone does bad so they can have their own success. We're all in it together. Cheering each other on, and I think that's obviously helped us win a bunch. So,
do you have any personal goals over the next couple months, you know, towards the end of the season?
In terms of like moving around, no, but just like keep having good at bats here and keep making plays offensively. I'm just gonna be where my feet are and keep trying to progress. Trust the process. I know there's no rush. So, like I said, just trust the process. Keep getting better where I am.
Well, Trey, thank you so much for the time. It's been a great conversation, great catching up with you, and, again, really starting to see some great results on the field. Yep. So best of luck with everything, and thank you for taking some time
to chat. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Really awesome stuff from Trey Sweeney, the Yankees' number 5 prospect, 2021 first-round pick, getting to know the inner workings of him a lot. And I look back on when he first joined the Patriots. He said that same mentality since his first day here. Be where your feet are. Work hard every single day, and that's something that has carried him to great success over the course of his life. his career, and we're starting to see the individual and team results this season with Somerset. A really grounded guy, and you love to see the success coming in a very big way for Trey Sweeney.
And we've drawn a lot of comparisons to the season Anthony Volpe had last year. And at the beginning, there was a lot of pressure put on him being the shortstop of this team and potentially a future at the big league level. And there were also a lot of questions about his abilities at shortstop. He was questioned, are you going to be a third baseman, a second baseman, with so much depth at shortstop throughout the Yankees organization. And he said, you know, I want to work on shortstop, want to improve and get better. Also talking at the beginning of the season when we've talked with Trey about how he wants to work on that power, which has really been unleashed. It was nice to get into the nitty-gritty of his swing a little bit. And that leg kick, mentioning that he had some trouble with the velocity at the beginning of his career, but how he's developed into such a great power slash on-base dual threat so far this year for Somerset.
Well, as for what's next, we're going to hit the road for 6 games in Bowie, Maryland, Patriots' first series of the season versus the Baltimore Orioles AA affiliate. They will actually visit TD Bank Ballpark by the end of July, but when you next see us at TD Bank Ballpark, it is going to be one of the most exciting homestands of the entire season because it starts with the 4th of July fireworks show as we welcome the Reading Fightin' Phils into town. It'll be the final time the Patriots host the Phillies affiliate in Bridgewater Township this year. 4th of July fireworks. We'll have a Bark in the Park night that Wednesday. Brutus the Barber Beefcake, the WWE Hall of Famer, will be here on the Thursday game. More fireworks Friday and Saturday, the 7th and the 8th, and it'll end with another Marvel superhero night, Black Panther character appearance on Sunday the 9th. So looking at those promotions, Eli, that's exciting in itself, but this is a Reading team that when they were here in Somerset, they took 3 of 6 games, and they were, despite finishing last place in the Northeast in the first half, a really exciting roster. The likes of two of the top pitching prospects in, forget the Phillies organization, in all of baseball. We got to look at Mick Abel, Griff McGarry, and some other exciting and maybe under-the-radar players like Johan Rojas, Carlos de la Cruz, and even a familiar face in Jaylen Ortiz, another top Phillies prospect that has recently rejoined the Fightin' Phils roster. And, oh, by the way, our good friend Oliver Dunn, who had himself quite a week here in Somerset when the Phils visited the Patriots and also helped out Somerset in the postseason run with the heroics he had versus Portland. He's also on this Reading team, so exciting stuff to look forward to on the field as well as off the field with some of the promotions we're going to see.
Dunn had 2 homers, 6 RBIs when Reading took 3 of 6 the last time they came a couple weeks into the season. And then this past week, 3 straight games with a homer for Oliver Dunn versus the Portland Sea Dogs, who were chasing the tail of the Patriots for the first half championship. And Oliver Dunn able to get an assist a little bit with his former team, a lot of good buddies still on this team. And it's going to be fun to see his return as well, as you mentioned, some of the top prospects in the game on the pitching and offensive side who are going to come to Somerset for what should be another great series at TD Bank Ballpark.
I want to give one more nod to, I mean, we mentioned the heroics of Oliver Dunn in what he did versus the Portland Sea Dogs, the team chasing the Patriots last week. Well, I want to give a nod to Matt Minnick, too, because the former Patriot from last year who led all of minor league baseball in WHIP and posted a below 2 ERA, spending all of last year at AA Somerset, actually got released by the Yankees and picked up by the New York Mets, the crosstown rivals, and was optioned to the Binghamton Rumble Ponies immediately after signing. And he had a big win and a save in the 2 games that Binghamton played over the weekend that it hosted Portland in the midst of this championship run for the Patriots in the first half. So really good stuff from the former Patriots helping us out a little bit. But once again, Somerset doing a lot of it on its own. 17-6 in the final 23-game stretch. A legitimate playoff push. The Patriots pitching staff rounding into form. New faces contributing and a lot of the same contributors at the plate have really come on in a huge way for the Somerset Patriots. We will have postseason baseball at TD Bank Ballpark for a second straight year, and the Somerset Patriots will have a chance to defend their Eastern League title. That's going to do it for us this week on the Patriots in Pinstripes podcast. Got to give a huge thanks to Trey Sweeney for joining us, our featured guest this week, as well as for my on-air partner, Eli Fishman. I'm Stephen Cusimano saying so long, and we will see you at the ballpark for 4th of July weekend.